It was Christmas, and a family had gathered, family and friends, to their house for Christmas dinner. There's a six-year-old boy in the family, and he was asked to give thanks for the meal. And so everyone closed their eyes and put their hands together, and this boy began to give thanks, first naming each of his family by name, and then looking around the room and thanking God for each of the friends there. Then attention shifted to the table, and this little boy gave thanks for the turkey, for the roast potatoes, for the parsnips, for the cranberry sauce, for the squash, for the wine. Well, maybe he didn't give thanks for the wine, he was only six. But so on and on went the list, until suddenly there was a pause, quite a long pause, and then this boy looked up at his mom and said, "If I give thanks to God for the Brussels sprouts, won't he know I'm lying?" What do we give thanks to God for? What do we praise him for? I'm sure there are any number of things, and it's good, isn't it, to be thankful? It's very good to be thankful. It's a widely recognized characteristic as a good and positive characteristic. I came across a couple of quotes, one of which says, "Never let the things you want make you forget the things that you have." Being thankful for what we have and not losing sight of that in the midst of striving for other things. And not just being thankful and praising God when things are going well, but even when things are difficult. And here's one. It says, "I am thankful for my struggle, because without it, I wouldn't have stumbled across my strength." And so even being thankful in the midst of trials and difficulties. Turning to the Bible, we read that we're called not to be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, to present our requests to God. We're to be thankful people. And that's kind of where we find ourselves here in Mark chapter 11. It's a time of praise and thanksgiving, not just in their own words, but quoting from the words of Psalm 118, which we also had read for us. What are you thankful for? I'm sure it could be anything from kids to family to friends, perhaps work and employment, perhaps you enjoy food, hobbies, fun, the golf course, love from those around you. Perhaps we're thankful for our safety, for our clothing, for the home that we live in, for holidays. With Easter around the corner, I imagine a number of us will be going away for short or long breaks. There's a lot that we are to be thankful for. But is it enough? Is it enough to be thankful for these things? That's what I want us to explore today. Is it enough to be thankful for our family, our friends, work, our fun, our safety, our clothing? Is it enough to be thankful for these things? Well, as we look at Mark 11, what's happened so far is, well, Christmas happened, Jesus was born, and he grew up, and then Jesus really breaks onto the scene when he begins his ministry, and he really shakes the boat. His name spreads far and wide across the land of Israel, mostly in a good way, though there are some who work against him. He's known for his teaching. Suddenly this teaching which carries great authority, teaching which challenges a lot of what they've been hearing from their contemporary leaders. Not only is he teaching, but he's performing great miracles. Here is a man who is able to give the blind sight, who makes the lame walk, someone who even raises the dead. Jesus' name is spreading far and wide, and as we get to Mark 11, people are praising him. As he rides into Jerusalem, they think he's great, and they think he's going to go on and do great things. The problem is what they expect him to do. And to help us think about that, we need to take a step further back and not just think about the life of Jesus, but the life of the Israelites at that time, the situation they find themselves in. If you remember back to the stories of Abraham, Abraham left his land that he was living in, and God called him to another land which he said he would give him. Abraham's descendants lived there for a very short time before, through the story of Joseph, they end up in the land of Egypt as slaves. as you'll remember in the story of Moses. And Moses rescues them out of slavery in Egypt and brings them to this promised land, a land of independence and autonomy, a place where they are their own people. But not long after that, invading forces carry off the people of Israel into exile. Then, once again, they're able to return to the promised land as the exile comes to an end. But now they find themselves under Roman rule. Yes, living in a land that God promised them, but not really being in control or being those in charge. They're under Roman rule. And into this setting, Jesus comes along and he brings God's word. He performs miracles that only the divine can do. And people are asking the question, who is this man? Could he be God's chosen king for us? Could he be the one who's going to restore our fortunes, who's going to restore us to the land of Israel, who's going to bring us back our independence and restore glory to the people of Israel? Could this be the promised son of David who will reign forever on his father's throne? And so with all this expectation, in the midst of their praise and thanksgiving, I wonder whether there's a sense in which people are expecting Jesus to come along and to overthrow the Roman rule and to bring about independence for his people. And we see something of that just a few verses earlier in chapter 10, verse 35. There's a famous dialogue between two of Jesus' disciples and Jesus. James and John come up to Jesus and they ask him for a favor. In verse 37, they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus, when you inaugurate in your new kingdom, when you're in charge of everyone, when the Romans are kicked out, can we be up there with you? Can we have positions of great influence and importance, Jesus? And as the people cry, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," even as they praise him and thank him, I wonder whether they've missed the point. Because the thing is, this crowd who are praising him, this crowd who are singing his praise and thanking him for all that he's doing and all that he's going to do, well, they're the same crowd who just a few days later will be those who cry, "Crucify him, crucify him." Those who once sang Hosanna will be those who call for his condemnation and his death. And what has happened? What happens between today, Palm Sunday, and Good Friday, that all the people would turn on him? That's because I think they've totally misunderstood what Jesus is about. Even as they thank him, even as they praise him, I wonder whether they've missed the point. They're not doing it for the right reasons. It's kind of like saying, you know what, I really like the police. I really like them because they've got quite stylish clothing. You think, well, okay, maybe, perhaps, but that's not really what they're there for. Or you think about the fire service, and I think fire service is great, and my kids love watching them charging around with their blue flashing lights on. And you think, well, perhaps, but haven't you missed the point? Or teachers, you think, oh, teachers are great because they're great interior designers. Look at what they do with the walls of a classroom. Well, no, really, we thank them for their education of our children, for the way they set examples for them. We thank the fire service because they save lives. We thank the police because they bring about justice and peace. We need to praise and thank people for the right thing. And I think if we just praise God for our kids, if we just thank him for our family and our work and our employment, our hobbies, the fun and the food and our safety and our shelter, if we just thank him for those things, I think we're missing the point. Now, don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying it's not good to thank him for those things. Of course we do. Of course we praise him and we thank him for giving us all that he has. But isn't there something far more important? What is Jesus really all about? Well, Psalm 118 tells us, The psalm that these people and these crowds are quoting from, it tells us exactly why we should praise and thank Jesus. Psalm 118 begins with the words, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And then it goes on to tell us why. Why we should give thanks to God. And the psalm is all about rescue and help. Rescue and salvation. That is why we should praise the Lord Jesus, because he is the one who comes and who rescues and who saves. Verse 27 speaks of sacrifice, drawing the Israelite minds and our minds back to the time when the Israelites performed sacrifices of animals day after day after day after day, year after year. Blood is to be shed in order for salvation and rescue to take place. Verse 22, God's rescuer is spoken of as the stone that the builders rejected. The way Jesus is going to do things is going to rile up those in authority. He's going to do things differently. He's going to turn the world upside down. The way he goes about things is not the way people might naturally expect him to. As he rides into Jerusalem, he doesn't ride a horse. He doesn't ride a military beast. But he rides a lowly donkey. His is the way of sacrifice, of rejection, of humility, and ultimately of death. And we shouldn't be surprised, and the people of Jesus' time really shouldn't have been surprised. Three times, very explicitly to his disciples, he's spoken of the way in which he will be rejected, he will be killed, and he'll die. He tells them very explicitly that the reason he rides into Jerusalem, the purpose for his visit to Jerusalem, is in order to die. That is what Jesus is all about. Yes, he's the king. Yes, he is the son of David. The question is, what sort of a king is he? And again, just a few verses before our passage in Mark chapter 10, Jesus says that he comes not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the sort of king he is. Not one who sits far off from the people and has nothing to do with them. He's not one who just throws tidbits out to his subjects to appease them. This is the king who comes down to serve. And he comes to serve by laying down his very life for us. But that's not what the people wanted. And it's not what the people expected. Jesus fails to live up to their expectations, their misguided expectations. They cry, "Hosanna, blessed be the name of the one who comes in the name of the Lord." But it all rings hollow. And just days later, those cries of praise and thanksgiving would be turned to cries of condemnation and of "crucify him," because they've missed the point that Jesus comes in order to die. The death of Jesus is at the heart, the very beating heart of the Christian faith. In order to make sense of Jesus, we must see him as the one who came not to rule and to reign, not as the one who came to overthrow Roman authority, but we must see him as the one who came to die on the cross. And so what do we thank God for? What do we praise him for? A great many things. All those things we've listed and many besides. And yet, the central thing which we must praise and thank the Lord Jesus for, without which all our other praise rings empty and hollow, is that he came and he died. He's the one, he's the king who comes, yes, to rescue. He's the one who comes to save, but he's the one who comes to do so by way of service. He's the rescuer who lays down his own very life in order that others might live. And so this week, as we build up to Easter, I hope that you'll have a chance to stop and to reflect and to think about all that we need to be thankful for, all that we have in our life, and do indeed be thankful for all those things. But above all, we find here a call to be thankful that the Lord Jesus came to give his life for us, that we might live. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all the good things that you give us. A great many things which we are aware of, and many more which we don't even think about day by day. But we do pray that you would cause our hearts to be thankful for the Lord Jesus, that he went to the cross willingly and gladly for us, that he laid down his life that we might live. Please help us to be thankful for him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm done now.